It's Friday, August 11th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hey everyone, thank goodness it's Friday. I'm ready for the weekend. We've got a great show for you tonight. Strap in. Here it comes. All right, everyone, aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and for all of you that are long-term subscribers to the show, hey, thank you for staying subscribed and being part of the family, being part of the Ohana here. And of course, for those of you checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. And big thank you to all of our contributing editors this week. They really came through. I've been absolutely slammed ever since I did the show Monday night, just like the world came crashing down. And I've had an absolutely full week. But I hope you're all doing fine. Hope you're ready for the weekend. I know that I am. And of course, if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, make sure you get over there and also sign up. You can find that via the second column of the website that you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately upon the, essentially as soon as I hit it publish. They go right out a few seconds later from when I post the blog post. Well, I tell you, how's everyone's week been? Because mine... When I left you, when I did the show on Monday night, we had actually, as I had said, we had brought our primary server down over at Raw Voice, and we're actually having it rebuilt, and we ran on our backup box for 24 hours. That went really, really well. And while we were waiting for GoDaddy to do a couple of things with the box, we actually got on the phone with Angelo, and he's decided, hey, I'm going to change a couple of structures up as we're doing this. Make it even easier for us to recover from any type of future event. And I said, well, just make sure it doesn't delay us getting up. But typically, when you have to rebuild a box, there are a certain number of things you have to do, and we got through those actually relatively quickly, considering everyone has day jobs, and the only thing that we couldn't work on them until we got home from work. So I think we were down. If we would have been able to sit right there at the front of the computer and work straight through, we probably could have had the boxes back on in about 6 hours. But that's essentially what it was. In about Tuesday night, I guess, about 6 p.m. Hawaii time, I guess, maybe midnight. It was almost midnight on the East Coast. We flipped the box back over, then did some cleanup on Wednesday. Everything's been running good today. And we're pretty happy with the whole process that went on there. And, of course, I talked about the fail-safe program we're using with that DNS provider called Netica. That worked just absolutely fabulous. Now, I talked a little bit before. I've been testing out Dragon Naturally Speaking version 9. And I've been actually doing that here on the show. I've actually been running that. And I found something out. With that program, now if someone's using that program, they need to tell me how this thing can collect and put the information into a file behind another screen, because essentially you have to run it right on the very front of the screen. If you don't, if you bring another window in front, it just gets confused. So what I've been doing is I back the show up. Every night when I record, or every time I record, I actually have a Marantz PMD660 that is tied directly into my mixer board. So I record onto that as a backup method in case a computer crashes or whatever may happen. I've lost a couple of shows in the past, and so it's just I run that backup system. So what I did the other night is I got done with the show, got everything wrapped up, and I said, well, let me plug this thing together. I essentially put the phone outs into the mic in on the computer, set the thing up into dictation mode, hit play on the machine, and walked away from it, came back the next morning. And it did okay, but it's going to take a little more babysitting until I can figure out exactly what's going on, because it once it gets to a certain point, it can only handle so much text in a page. And for me talking an hour straight, it just completely overwhelmed it. So play around with that a little more, let you know how that goes. Hey, last night I had dinner with four guys from the Hawaii Association. Actually, it was three of us from, actually four total, from the Hawaii Association of Podcasters and Eric Rice. Eric Rice from ericrice.com was out here with his family taking a little vacation time. So we had a very, very nice conversation. Once that was done, they followed me down to the Mac store. And yes, indeed, there is a MacBook Pro that is in my bag down here. So you all can rejoice. And if you actually look up on Flickr, there's some pictures on Flickr. Because Ryan was there to capture the moment. He said, oh, I got to take a picture of this. But hey, here's a question for you all. In my Windows PC, I have a Sprint PC 5740 EVDO card. Well, the MacBook Pro doesn't take a full PCM CIA card. What can I get? What kind of EVDO card can I get that I can use in both machines? Oh, I'm sure you're going, oh, maybe not possible. I haven't talked to Sprint yet, but if any of you are faced with that situation, I'd like to be able to, you know, move them between boxes. So quite the dilemma. Let me know what you guys come up with, because that is something that I really didn't expect. I got looking at it. Oh yeah, it doesn't have that full-sized PCMCI slot. All right, lots happening here in the household. My wife's nephew flew in this morning from Okinawa, and he avoided that big typhoon. Essentially, he flew China Airlines, left Okinawa, went into Taiwan, did a transfer, and then straight in here to Honolulu. And he's here with us for a month. His parents' graduation present to him to come spend some time with us. And enjoy the spirit of aloha. So we're going to be taking him around and seeing the sights and doing the tourist thing. And you know what's amazing is his English is just absolutely terrific. I haven't seen him in about 2 years. And the last time I was there, his English was pretty good. But it's just gotten so much better. And we had a nice conversation downstairs. Well, I tell you, I know that... Or probably the majority of us. Now, I shouldn't say maybe not. But, you know, when I went to my first foreign country, and a non-English speaking country, boy, I tell you, I had a tough time because I had no additional language skills. And I had to just, you know, learn on the fly. And, of course, I grew up in the rural area in Michigan. And really what they taught in high school was, you had French. That was the class that they taught there. And, you know, I guess that was okay for those that wanted to go visit France, but that wasn't my cup of tea. So really, you know, I just think it's amazing how, you know, most kids from other countries speak two or three different languages. It's too bad that it's not more ingrained here in the United States. Maybe it is. Maybe I just don't see it. Here in Hawaii, we're kind of forced to just because it's a melting pot. But what's it like in your area? What do they teach in your? What are your kids learning in school for languages these days? What is offered? I'm really kind of curious to hear what's available out there. Okay, well, had a little bit of a rearrangement here in the office. My wife had a few days off, so she was up here deciding things need to be changed around. And we had one of those discussions like, you need to stay on your side of the office, honey, and rearrange your stuff and leave mine alone because, quite honestly, I can't find anything. So I think when she goes to work, there's going to be a little payback. And I'll see if I live through the weekend. But don't you hate it when that happens, when you have everything arranged just the way, and, you know, we're creatures of habit. We put the stuff the same way. We have our own systems. But, oh, well, that's the way it goes. All right, the podcast awards wrap up tomorrow as far as voting goes. And then we've go through some validation of voting and cross-checking log files and quite a bit of little work, actually, to get everything verified and make the announcement on the 15th. What else have I got going on? You know, tonight when I was preparing for the show, believe it or not, it is actually 9:40 here right now in the evening. At 8 10, I was ready to go. And I was going through and was doing some final checks. I had everything set up, and I found one. I would have everything tagged up in Feed Demon perfectly. And I found something. I said, oh, I want to check that out. And I loaded it. And for the first time in like months, Feed Demon crashed. And when it crashed, all my 20 different tabs that were opened up and ready to discuss with you tonight disappeared. That is just beyond aggravating. And I don't know what happened, but that one certain link killed it. Nick, if you're out there, why does that do that? Help me, help me, help me. But, of course, calling help for Nick is Nick's the author of Feed Demon. And he got a great product, but boy, tonight I was mad. All right, what else is going on? Well, hey, one thing we did get is we got a little bite today. Actually, a big bite from a potential sponsor to sponsor some shows going out to the Consumer Electronics Show in January. So we'll see how that goes over the next couple of weeks. And I hope this really comes through. I really do, because if we do, we'll go with a team. And, you know, we had a great time last year, and some of the largest listener totals came from those series of shows. And we look forward to, you know, hopefully going back this year and having a bigger group, be able to cover everything much more extensively. Do a little video podcasting this year. Definitely going to do that if we go to CES. So, you know, we're 151 days out for CES right now. So it's never too early to start planning. Meanwhile, we're starting our next planning for our next event, Over Tech Podcast, for our roundtable. So we'll be announcing that here shortly. And, of course, that's sponsored by GoToMeeting, and it's the best web conferencing solution that I have found. And it's because it's got some real cool tools. So you can record the meetings. The drawing tools are amazing. They keep everyone focused, so we get a lot more done and get through the material quicker. And GoToMeeting integrates with most of the email clients and instant messaging apps, so I can hold the meetings instantly online. Plus, it's affordable, and I can meet as often as I want for one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Along with that, I saw some stuff today. GoDaddy has actually pulled their, I guess they were getting ready to do an initial public offering, and they've withdrawn that. So I guess I'll talk a little bit about what Bob Parsons had to say about that. And as always, GoDaddy continues to be a sponsor here. And if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, enter the code GEEK5 when you check out and save an additional 15% off your order of $20 or more. Get your PC internet at GoDaddy.com. Of course, you can save 10% on any order by using the code word Todd, T-O-D-D. Again, GEEK5, Todd. And some other ones out there, Geek, ComSale, Aloha, and Central. So try those, all those codes. Aloha is actually a good one. If you buy a lot of stuff, you can get $20 off your order of $75 or more. Thanks for GoDaddy for continuing to be a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. All right, lots of content tonight, and feel a little bit disorganized because all the stuff that was going on with Feed Demon. But and I may have lost a couple of good articles in my ramp up here. But one thing that I found, actually I don't find it surprising, but there's an article on Telephony Online that talks about how Verizon owns 81% of the U.S. Fiber to the curb subscribers or subscriptions right now. Or actually, yeah, they've got 81% of all fiber to the home subscribers in the United States. Now, it makes sense that they would have that percentage, but is it going to come to a point where Verizon is absolutely going to be the only choice and you're going to be locked to, if you want to have their Fios service, their FIOS service, is that going to essentially, you know, are they going to have a monopoly on this? Now, the other 19% is divided among other bell carriers. So, obviously, the bell carriers are king of the hill right now when it comes to the availability of this fiber to the curb. So, or fiber to the home, excuse me. So, we will see what happens in this. Unless the cable companies do something, they could really start to have a major impact at some point here in the very near future on the actual cable modem subscribers. Because I'll be honest, if Verizon or any other company dug a trench in front of my house and said, hey, here's a little piece of fiber, and you can pay a little extra more and have a lot faster service, I would definitely be signing up, and I would drop my cable provider just about as fast as I could pick up the telephone and dial the 7 digits to cancel. So I know some of you that listen to the show have the service and are absolutely in love with it. But, you know, they don't have that many subscribers right now. They've got 463,000 is the total. So, you know, not even near a million yet on the total number of subscribers for the Verizon Fios service, FIOS. So we'll keep an eye on this and see where it goes. Hey, there's a very interesting article over on Mark Cuban's weblog, and he's got it entitled, Business Journalists Should Be Thankful. And he put something forth here that is very, very interesting. Now, you know, most stock, those people that do, you know, that do the research on companies and buy stock, and the ones that have hedge funds, and, you know, they have these really talented analysts that just go in and they just research everything to a T to find an edge and where they could, you know, where they can put their money, invest their money to find, you know, to get a little extra profit out of their investments. Well, he goes into this discussion about how what is happening now is some of these journalists that are out there who are digging on information for a specific company. What they're doing is they're taking some of this information and they're actually going back, and instead of having this being put on a newspaper where they've dug up information about a company, they'll go back and sell it to some of these folks that are investors. And essentially that investor will then, instead of, you know, he kind of buys that story. Now, I don't know if there's any SEC issues here, but I'm going to tell you what, this is pretty scary. You know, the average investor out there is going to be starting to compete with, you know, these guys are going to make investments, and then they can be picky on whether or not they want to release the information to make it to their advantage, the whole nine yards. But at what point do independent journalists that go out and dig these stories up, where is the disclosure at? And this is what he gets into, is some of the disclosure based upon a website called ShareSleuth.com. And I guess that Mark is involved with that website. And he goes to saying here that he said, personally, I think the idea that we add a reader responsibility statement, and this is kind of funny here, a reader responsibility statement to the bottom of ShareSleuth.com is a good thing, is one that I'm considering. And he says, from the top of my head, he says, ShareSleuth.com publishes business stories about companies that we have researched solely for the purpose of improving our ability to profitably trade or invest on the information we uncover. We publish this information after we have traded in the stock, not prior, not simultaneously. Our obligation is not to the reader. It is to the trading activities of our owners. Readers should not use this as foundation for their own investment of trading strategies. Readers should not presume that the information published on the site will or will not impact the perception of valuations of company profit or reference. ShareSleuth.com has published this information simply because we want this site, because we want to. This site is funded completely by the results of our financial activities. ShareSleuth.com retains the right to investigate any person or company, trade, or invest on that information and not publish that information. The rich get richer. Those of us that are down here in the weeds trying to eke a living out, we're just going to get crushed. Be careful out there if you're investing. Be careful out there where you're getting your information to act upon a stock trade. If you're doing any independent trading, make sure you find out where that information is coming from, whether or not someone has acted upon it before that, just as they're including here. So this is a very interesting article, and lots of comments to it as well. So I'll let you check that out. Link will be in the show notes, obviously. I found an interesting article today on Dr. Dobbs' portal over at ddj.com. The title of the post says, Researcher, Hacker Sophistication Outpacing Forensics. And this essentially is talking about how the sophistication of hacking attacks and security incidences are getting so, you know, these guys are getting so good that the people that are going out and trying to detect what's going on and find the malicious code they're having a hard time keeping up. Now, it should not come to any surprise to all of you on why. You know, this is a profit-motivated attackers. You know, they are really looking to steal information from victims' PCs. So there's a lot of motivation to come up with great tools, great hacking, you know, and malicious code in order to, get this, steal this info. So, and beyond people's laziness to make sure that they've got their machines patched as much as possible. But it's an ongoing battle that doesn't look like it's going to be won anytime. And it just brings to light, to me at least, how bad things are getting out there where the forensic people are, you know, typically in the past, you know, let's go back a little ways, that and when something come out, usually before it spread and got totally crazy, the security people were able to detect it, decode it, figure it out what's going on, and put changes in to protect the majority of people. Now it's not that way, and I think it's only going to get worse. So we'll see what happens on this front, but keep your machines patched, please. That's the best way you can do it. And, of course, you guys that have Macs, you're probably like, well, we don't have to do that, including me, but we'll see. All right, Shapiro attacks RIAA over copyright protection. And, you know, the RIAA wants their cake and eat it too. But the Consumer Electronic Association President Gary Shapiro today lambasted the Recording Industry Association of America concerning a letter the group sent to Representative Rick Boscher, Democrat from Virginia, that discussed copyright issues. You know, what RIAA wants is they want that broadcast flag. They want that audio flag so that what will happen is any type of digital device, any type of device that's capable of receiving and recording audio, you name it, they want a flag in there so that we cannot have, or we're not allowed to copy any material that's coming over a digital stream. Not digital stream, from the airways, whatever it may be. But the RIAA is saying, we want this flag, but we have no idea how you're going to implement it. Just do it. And the Consumer Electronics Association is basically saying, hey, come on now. We try to meet the needs of music artists and video content restrictions and DRM and all that stuff all at the same time. You know, let's not get ridiculous. And they're coming down on the RIAA pretty hard on this. Because, you know, essentially the RIAA is saying, just go ahead and do it. Force it upon us. Force it upon the consumers and those that make these products. Make the changes without coming up with it's like you going up to your boss and saying, you're working me too many hours. And the boss says, well, what do you have for a solution? Well, I don't have a solution. Where actually the solution was, I'd like to, you know, work a few less hours a week. So, you know, the RIAA wants their cake and eat it too. They want to complain. But, you know, what's sad is that this legislation that continues to be pushed is being pushed by them with no real technical research or technical know-how behind it. And it's going to hurt us in the end, folks. It really, really is. That organization, you know, they continue to be at the top of my radar, and they need to be kept an eye on. They are out of control. They continue to be out of control. And finally, the CEA and other organizations that are closer to these manufacturers are starting to stand up and say, this has got to stop. You know, you're making it hard for us. And, you know, even radio stations who are going to be broadcasting digitally are like, hey, you know, if they do this, what this is going to do is, you know, we've invested heavily in equipment already. You're going to make our equipment obsolete for, you know, digital radio. You know, if this goes through. So these folks, they just want money. They're greedy. They really, really are. Okay, and from the weirder and weirder department, now, I hope none of you are like to dig. I mean, like dig dirt. like dig dirt in your basement to build tunnels out of your basement? Any of you doing that? Well, there is this 76-year-old man in the UK who has been digging for like 40 years, 45 years, tunnels underneath his home, doing just all kinds of crazy stuff. They've had a part of the road collapse outside of his house. He's caused power to go out. I guess this guy has this labyrinth underneath his home that's just unbelievable. And his their neighbors are afraid that their houses are going to fall in. So they've evicted this guy out of his house, and they're going to be bringing in engineers to descend into this labyrinth to figure out the extent of the damages later in the week. Now, this is going to be a very interesting story, but the guy that's done this, he's claiming, hey, you know, I started building a root cellar, and I turned into a wine cellar, then it turned into a basement, and then an extended basement. You know, something's got to be, what drives people to dig? I'm telling you, very, very odd. All right, I did a review on Geek News Central today about a new, in fact, I probably should load this up in the browser and talk to you about it, because I saw two product things I want to turn you on to. I'm waiting for the browser here to load. I actually did two reviews today on the website. The first one was on Power DVD 7. And this is a pretty good, if you're looking, if you guys watch a lot of DVDs on your PCs, this may be a software package that you'll want to upgrade to. Now, a lot of PCs have the older version of Power DVD already preloaded. And, you know, it comes with your computer. And that's by a company called CyberLink. And I did a test on this Power DVD 7. It's got some really cool features. For those of you that are going to be adopting Blu-ray players early, they've got it so that it will support the MPEG H.264 format for HD playback off of a Blu-ray disc. So, you know, that's a cool thing. This thing has got so loaded with so many technical specifications, I really couldn't even go to it on the blog completely. But upgrade price was a $19.95 with some, you know, initial versions available between the price of $49.95 and $69.95. But the other product I've been playing with over the last couple of weeks is called Voskay, V-O-S-K-Y. You can Skype from any phone in the world. Essentially, what it is, it's very simple. It's got a USB connection to a computer. You load some software up. You have it tied into your phone line system. And this thing, what you can do is through the software setup, is if someone rings your house, this Voskay box will answer. And then it will forward, do a call forward to your mobile. So you can actually have it set up in your home when you're away, when Skype is up and running, to get phone calls to your mobile. Or you can call into the line, and using some voice commands, you can actually make Skype out calls. Really, this is a very, very cool product. Played with it for about 2 weeks. And reviews up on the website. Check it out. Really inexpensive, $69.95, and it's a lot of fun to have it. Now, my wife said she didn't really notice it on the line. She does just a lot of regular landline calls, so it really doesn't interfere there, except unless you're using it, of course. But I just thought the voice command stuff was pretty cool and how it worked. That brought up a article that I found on Engadget. It's a new product called VivoPhone. It's a voice key Skype adapter, and it's in the, you know, there's been a lot of these out on the market right now. But this one plugs into a USB port on a laptop or a computer, and it can handle up to, so it can handle up to 9 calls at a time and handle conference calls with up to 5 people. And this adapter is also compatible with the DECT cordless phones, and those are mostly phones that are used in businesses within PBX systems of that sort. But this looks pretty impressive, and no price on it yet, no date when it's going to be released. But I think this would be pretty cool for those of you that are looking for some Skype type phone adapters and some options for multiple line handling, the whole nine yards. So that link will be up in the show notes, of course, with Engadget. Now, here's of course, today's news is full of all the stuff that happened in the UK with these would-be terrorists that were going to try to bring airplanes down. Thank goodness they caught them. Thank goodness that there was interagency cooperation between the United States and the folks over there in England. But apparently, you know, they were making these folks get on the airplane with clear plastic bags with only very minimal stuff. How many of you shudder at the thought of putting your laptop, your PDA, your cell phone, all the other electronics you carry into your carry-on luggage? For me, that is just like it's a nightmare. I can't even imagine it. And, you know, considering what I put in my bag sometimes, like, for example, when I went out to Nomdex, I had a laptop, a couple of high-end microphones, I had a digital recorder, I had two wireless microphones, I had just, you know, the bag was full, and the bag, quite honestly, probably had $3,000 or $4,000 worth of electronics in it. Now, I'm putting, if you have to, you know, if you're in the UK and you have to put that stuff in a regular suitcase, and the way they throw this stuff around, oh my goodness. Well, it extends beyond that a little bit, because apparently there's some discussions going on in some of the boards I've been reading today where there was actually some of that type of activity in the United States. Now, supposedly we're still able to carry our carry-on bags, but we can't have water, any liquids, or anything like that. So, you know, yeah, we all saw the news reports where ladies were throwing their Chanel number 9 into the trash can. Why didn't they can put that stuff in their check bag. I don't know why they didn't do that. But make a long story short, there was a guy that went through security. Now, this is according to Gizmodo. He went through security, and when they opened up his bag, they saw one of those Microsoft Zune. He's got a pre-release of a Microsoft Zune. And because the security guys didn't know what it was, they confiscated it. And supposedly, quote unquote, they're going to mail it back to his office. Now, this is, you know, this is rumor, speculation, but typically I've never heard of the TSA, when they confiscate something, mailing it back to you. Does anybody know if TSA does that? But, you know, that probably what the TSA guy wanted it for, us to test it and take some pictures of it. But, it just scares me to death to think about having to check my electronics. Now, well, you know, if that's what it comes to, it, we'll do it. But I bet you there's bag manufacturers out there that have been today working all day developing new bags that will support putting our electronics in a much, much more secure way, and having being able to be checked. But just to think of having that go into check luggage, you know, your screens, all it takes is a guy throwing something the wrong way and your laptop is toast. So we'll have to see how this goes. We really, really will. Not to mention the airlines, you know, with not being able to take water on board, the airlines better start giving out bottled water as well, because I can't imagine flying and not having a big bottle of water. But they're saying we can't, so I don't know what's going to happen there. Along with that report on the first Zune, they say they're going to cost $299. That's kind of the report that's coming out. That's a price range that is obviously set to compete with the Apple iPods. Don't know exactly what what's going to be included for $299, what kind of storage you're going to get, but apparently there are going to be three colors, and they're going to be launching around Thanksgiving time frame, so we'll get to look forward to that. All right, Six Apart is the folks that bring you TypePad and Movable Type. Six Apart is betting their future on moblogging for carriers, phone vendors, and blogging service providers. Camera phones are the biggest opportunity to make money. This comes off of the website of GigaOhm.com. And Six Apart's TypePad Mobile has a good shot at it. It's a rebranded version of SplashBlog. And so if you guys have either a Palm Trail, a Windows Mobile, Symbian Series 60 phone, you're able to use the Six Apart TypePad Mobile program to be able to send snapshots directly to a blog utilizing those that service. Now, there are other mobile blogging options out there as well, with the Photo Bucket, Pix Plus, Shozu. Of course, you can use that with some of the Nokia phones. And I tell you what, the phone I've got right now, this Motorola phone, it doesn't support a lot of these types of. I've never had good luck downloading these applications onto it. I guess I'll have to try the Six Apart system, see how it works. But you know, how good of a picture does your picture phone take? Some of my kit, I wouldn't even want to put online. I really, really wouldn't. As soon as they get Wi-Fi built into a camera, a little mini portable camera, then they're going to be in business. Now that you've had a few days to let the news from the WWDC sink in, how many of you are pretty excited about that Quad Xeon 64-bit workstation? I know some of you must be, your mouths must be watering. And, you know, of course, if you've got a Power Macintosh G5, you know, that's kind of like yesterday's news already. That, you know, that box is on its way out. And obviously, very powerful machine. It has been in the Apple line for a long time. But Quad Xeon, a quad box, and those of you that do video and that kind of stuff, you know, tell me, what are you guys going to be, if somebody's out there is going to buy one, what are you going to do with that box to use all that power? And if you've looked at these tech specs on these Xeon chips, oh my goodness, pretty impressive. CPU is Intel Xeon 5150, 2.66 gigahertz, 4 megabytes of L2 cache, has a 1333 megahertz front side bus with dual core, and of course 128-bit SSE3 vector engine. Lots of memory on this new Mac, and you look at the equipment in this thing, and you're like, this is going to be an impressive machine. So we will see what happens here, and who's going to buy one? What you going to use it for? Call the voicemail hotline on at 619-342-7365. All right, there's a little bit of a concern out right now that there's a new worm that's on the prowl for those of us that have Windows machines. There's attack code exploiting a recently patched vulnerability in Microsoft Corp's Windows operating system has been posted to the Internet, prompting concerns of a widespread attack. Even Homeland Security got into the act and are warning Windows users to make sure that their PCs are patched. So make sure that if you have not patched your, if you haven't doing auto updates since the Tuesday patch of this week, you do that. Make sure you get your machine patched. If not, you're at risk. And you know, this is a very quick turnaround. Here we are. It is Thursday my time. Essentially less than a day to get that patch out. So, or actually for them to get that hack out. So it just goes to show you that, you know, the time from release of a patch, the time that there's an actual exploit for it on roaming the net is very, very short. All right, have you guys heard about the news, a scam that AOL is doing? Well, check this out. It's expanding its new slate of free services, now offering free personalized email domains to all internet users. Now, if you want to have free email on AOL, they're going to allow you to register a .com domain name. The only trick is you never get to take it with you. AOL owns the email address and owns the domain. You know, they're willing to buy you a domain name, but you're going to have to stay a customer of theirs forever if you want to utilize that domain name in your AOL address or your email address that's going to be hosted by them. They're going to give you 5 gigabytes, 5 gigs of online storage, free antivirus software, and they're going to up the ante in September with a product called AOL My E-Address. So is it worth it? Was it worth having a AOL register you a .com domain, .com or .net, and let them keep the domain if you decide you don't want it anymore? That's a good question. What do you guys think? Is it going to move forward? Okay, there's a good article over on TechDirt about Bob Parsons, what he had to say about the GoDaddy IPO quiet period. Now, when a company announces that they're going to give a initial public offering, the CEO and other people in the company actually have to shut their mouths. They can't be talking about their products. They can't be hyping it. It's a big SEC rule. And a lot of companies have gotten in trouble in the past for opening their mouth and saying something. And this is what this essentially is to do, is to keep the stock, when it goes under the IPO, to be not overhyped, okay? Well, you know, Bob Parsons, and if you guys have listened to his podcast, it's very good. Bob likes to really talk about stuff, and he said that the quiet period was just too tough. You know, that's like, can you imagine not being able to say anything for weeks and weeks and weeks, and not be able to blog or do any, you cannot be able to do a podcast, or you know, you just have to be quiet? I can't imagine. That'd be like the ultimate 12-step plan to cure yourself of, you know, prolific podcasting or blogging. I don't think there's too many people out there like that, but it's pretty funny what they've got on Tech Dirt. And, of course, we appreciate GoDaddy here as a sponsor and I wish the company well. All right, there's an article up over on spacetoday.net that says Chandra measures Hubble constant. Astronomers have used data from NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory to make an independent measure of the Hubble constant. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the Hubble constant, it's the rate at which the universe is expanding. And the Hubble constant was that the universe is expanding at 72 kilometers per second and there's some term that I don't know, MPC, whatever that means. But anyway, it shows how fast the universe is expanding, which totals that they came up with the Chandra X-ray said 77 kilometers per second megaparsec, plus or minus 15% is within the margin of error. Previous independent calculations of the constant of 72. So the standing is that our universe is a very young 12 to 14 billion years old. So in the scheme of things, 12 to 14 billion, you think about how much money they spend in the United States every day, or the government does, on the economy. 12 or 14 billion really isn't that big a number. Now, if you start counting, it's going to take a while to get there. But sounds to me like we're pretty young universe. How about you guys? On the science front today, scientists have made a discovery on Alzheimer's. And this is pretty good. This is pretty good news. They're saying scientists discovered molecular janitors that clear away a sticky gunk blamed for Alzheimer's disease until they get old and quit sweeping up. And, of course, Alzheimer's is a disease of aging. So what this is going to open up is possible new therapies, new drugs that can be developed to essentially get these molecular janitors to continue to clean away the sticky gunk so that people will not have this problem. And of course, Alzheimer's is just for those folks out there and I'm sure there's people in this listening audience that have had parents or grandparents or someone that currently has Alzheimer's right now and dealing with that. And it's very, very sad. And it afflicts a many, many people, many, many older people. So we will see how the treatments are going to change because of this discovery. Let's hope it turns into something that'll help the 4.5 million Americans that are afflicted by Alzheimer's. And they're saying by 2050, as the population gets older, that number's going to triple. So, all right, folks, that's all I got for regular content tonight. I do have some listener emails. Got an email from Dan. He linked me over to a CNN report that talked about how they were able to infiltrate this terror cell. I'll put this link up in the show notes. It's got some interesting information. So some stuff that I haven't seen before as well. So link that up. What else have we got in here? I got an email from Lloyd. He and many others sent links into the warning that Google gives out now when you go to a site that's got harmful stuff. And the screenshot he sent me says, warning, the site you're about to visit may harm your computer. You can learn more about malware and how to protect yourself at stopbadware.org. Suggestions, return to the previous page and pick another result. Try another search to find out what you're looking for, or you can continue to www. And it lists the link that he gave me. He says, hey, Todd, here's a screenshot of the badware warning. It's a link to a serial number website that has known malware in it when you visit it. Thanks, keep up the... And a lot of people sent me that info, so I do appreciate it. Got an email from Alan. He said, hey, Todd, I found this on Google Video. You may have seen it before, but if not, it's worth watching. It's a short interview with Buzz Aldrin talking about the UFO they spotted during the Apollo 11 mission. I'll put this link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Alan. Got an email from... Oh, this was actually turned out to be spam. Let me delete that. Also, I got an email from Jamie. He sent me a link to one of those warning sites. And you know what, Jamie? What are you and Lloyd doing? Because both of you sent me the same link. Was that something that was somewhere else that you guys found that? So what's odds of both of you finding the same link to the same website? Are you guys visiting that serial website? Okay, I got an email from... William, you say, hey, Todd, I love the podcast. Just want to say it sounds like you might have something against Leo. I always listen to my podcast carefully, and a couple of times it sounded like you might have had some riff with him or his network in the past. If I'm wrong, I apologize for mentioning this. Just wanted to mention it because if I'm correct, you may not have wanted to project that way. Anyway, thanks for your hard work. Also, I think that it's great that you're faithful in getting these podcasts out. It makes me think that all podcasters need to go through the military and learn responsibility like you. It's not that. William, I've been working since I was a kid, so my dad instilled my work ethic. But I had already replied to William on this privately, but William, I don't have a problem with Leo's show, and it just, to be honest with you, I've listened to it to a couple of times, and I guess it didn't interest me. And maybe, I guess that's a simple way of saying it. I know that a lot of you do listen to his show, and not knocking anything he does. He's got a huge audience, and they put out a lot of great content. So if I projected that wrong, it didn't mean to come out that way. And so anyway, just wanted to follow up with you a second time. Of course, the audience as well. Got an email from John. He says, Todd, as a demonstration of how technology limits the distance between us, I wanted to relay my evening activities inspired by a show. You mentioned the A&E show Intervention today. Tonight I watched it via TiVo, enjoyed it, but could not believe that Madison did not get any counseling. Being the geek that I am, I Googled and found the A&E bulletin boards. I wanted more information. I read some of the postings and quickly found two postings from Madison. It was a lengthy posting that reporting she had attended counseling, and I went back to offer words of encouragement. The posting had disappeared. Maybe a glitch on their system. Meanwhile, someone had posted Madison MySpace site from the Madison MySpace area. It's easy to tell that she has a public MySpace account and more personal MySpace account. From her personal account, you could see she was online or could even instant message her. From seeing her on my TiVo to being able to actually talk to her, that is pretty amazing. We have come a long way from Leave It to Beaver. Now, since I'm not a crazy stalker, I just listened to some of her and Tim's music and dropped her an email of encouragement. Finished the evening sending you a message thanking you for pointing out this episode to me. We truly are connected. By the way, I agree with your wife. Watching TV without TiVo is just wrong. And I don't even know when shows are on anymore. It's like who listens to radio when you can listen to podcasts. Rock on, John. That's cool. And that's kind of funny. You know, we're on the same wavelength, aren't we? Let's see here. Hey, Todd, in the show today, you mentioned the news about AOL and the search information that was leaked. It could not have come at a better time. Tomorrow I'm posting an article speaking about iOpenSpeak and exactly what it stands for. And this is a storing, and that is storing no personal information from anyone. We're really excited about the project, not only because it will make us feel safer to use our own search engine, but that we can give others that sense of security. I was wondering if you're still interested in doing an interview. Michael, I am. Yeah, it's just the schedule's been crazy. It really, really has. Send me the link to that again. I didn't have the link in this post, so maybe I can dig it out and put a link in the show notes to it. But I had also read that Google is actually storing search results as well. Now, my good friend Kevin, he sent me a just for your information, and essentially it is that the Dell 30-inch monitor was $200 more than the Apple monitor that I was complaining about on the last show. Thanks, Kevin, for keeping me square. I would have never imagined that a 30-inch monitor from Dell would have cost $200 more than Apple, considering I got this 21-inch here. Boy, I guess that 9 inches makes the big difference. That makes them $1,500 more in price. Okay, I think that's it for tonight. I got one more here. Essentially, I got one from Robert talking about satellite radio and how to revolutionize podcasting. It says, let me read this to you. It says, Todd, Podcasting News says, podcasting is a threat to satellite radio. I don't know the answer to that question. However, I did sell my XM satellite radio and listen entirely to podcasts on my rural mail route, but I think now would be the time to revolutionize podcasting. What if I could subscribe to podcasts through satellite radio? Podcasters should organize and lobby satellite radio to make this possible. Just think if all the shows listened to were available like this, not live shows, just like the old-time radio channel, for example, just like the cable company was wanting to do with the on-demand DVR function from their server instead of having a box at home. Would work for satellite radio and podcast, perhaps. I say podcasting can save satellite radio and revolutionize podcasting, a win-win for both, and bring it to a whole new level with many more listeners and not even have to explain RSS or what a podcast is. To some extent, I would gladly get back my XM radio and pay more for that feature. Just go on their website and subscribe to an on-demand podcast. I think the problem with that is, Robert, is that they only have so many transponders. So let's say the satellite has, and I don't know what the mechanics of the satellite are. Let's say they've got 100 channels. Let's say it takes 100 transponders. When you do something on demand, unless you send that down in a different wavelength, or there can only be so many on demand. I don't know. Maybe it could be done, you know, because obviously the folks that are getting some of the, you know, have satellite TV are actually able to do an on-demand call. But I don't know, maybe that's running all the time and you guys have to, how does that work for those of you that have satellite TV? When you guys do an on-demand movie request, does that movie start immediately or do you have to wait for the time segment? Because I just don't know if there's only so many transponders. I don't know how, if that would actually work. But again, I think it's a cool idea. I do agree. He says, by the way, listen to a lot of podcasts. If you have not listened to the Popular Mechanics podcast, give them a try. They talk about subjects you report on in science, a great follow-up. Thanks for all you're doing for the podcasting community show. What makes your show stand out is that you comment whatever item you address instead of just reading the news. Everyone else just reads the news. I like your opinion on the subject, whether I agree or not, and thanks for having a timely schedule when your podcast will arrive, not like most that are unpredictable when to get the show. Robert. Okay, thanks, Robert. Do appreciate that. I think that's it. I got an email. I guess I did get one from Justin. He said, hey, Ted, I just want to follow up and share some news about BYOMS. You can now create a BYOMS for Yahoo Messenger, Window Live Messenger, any client that supports the Jabber XMP protocol. Yeah, I'm going to have to look at this again. Sorry, Justin, I haven't done my homework yet. Oh, I got to read this one. I really, really do. And you guys will get a kick out of this. Diddy, thank you for sending me this email. It just warmed my heart. She says, hi, Todd. As a retired lady, well in her 60s, who loves her computer and only discovered podcasting in February of this year, I would like to know that I have been listening to nearly every one of your podcasts ever since. A lot of the technical lingo passes me by, well, I'm afraid to say, but I just enjoy listening to your friendly, enthusiastic chat. My dad, too, was in the Dutch Navy Fleet Air Arms as a radio operator. I am a Dutch having married an Englishman and having lived in England for nearly 40 years, but unfortunately died very young in an air crash while on a tour of duty in Dutch New Guinea as was in 1956. I love hearing about your family and look forward to hearing about your little lad. Thank you for many hours of pleasure and bring me listening to your podcast. Computers are wonderful. I feel so privileged to be able to use technology, be it with many deficiencies. My husband is not interested, unfortunately. I even own a computerized sewing machine that can design embroidery patterns on my computer, which I then download to my sewing machine and embroider. With many best wishes, Diddy, and she's out in Hants in UK. And she says, P.S., I'd love to register, but still have not been able to fathom how to do that, so I just download my podcast to my MP3 player. you know what, Diddy, whatever way you get the podcast, enjoy it. Thanks for sending me that email. That was the best one of the month. It really, really was. And it really made me smile. And I wanted to share it with the audience. So thanks for keep on listening. And I tell you what, my wife, I want to talk her into getting one of those embroidery machines as well. She's been kind of holding off on it. So maybe I'll forward this email to her and say, see, if Diddy can do it, you can too, honey. So anyway, thanks so much for that. For the rest of you, hey, thanks for being here, being part of the family. And of course, coming to you from historic Ford Island, as live as it can be, in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. My name is Todd Cochran. You can send emails to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline. Leave me a blast, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Skype me. All the contact information's on the website. Whatever which way you want to send it to me, just fire away. And we look forward to being back with you next Tuesday for another show. And, hey, we're close approaching 200. Going to have to do something. We haven't quite figured it out. Let's blow the roof off this thing and show 200 and have a good time. Meanwhile, you all have a great weekend and be safe out there. Take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.